I hear an objection at the time.
I was on my way up.
Yes. A point of order from number six.
Joey Pipe, yep, Texas Presbytery. Ms. Moderator, I would raise the point of order that one may not divide a question if it changes the intention of the motion. All you have done by dividing the question is amend the motion, and we can't do that by division. There is one intention to the question, and that was to send it all the way to the Presbytery.
I would overrule that. I believe that we're not really working against it. If there is a call for it, I will put the division to the House, whether or not it should be divided. I will accept that point of order if there is a call for the division, for the division to be voted upon. I was presuming there. I hear no call. Therefore, we will go ahead with the question as divided, and ask you to vote on that first one and a half. Those in favor of referring, we haven't voted this. We did vote that. That passed. Sorry, that did pass. And the second part then is before you. The second part is that the General Assembly asks the Presbyteries to consent to an invitation, and so on. The last half of that paragraph 8 that is before you. Those in favor of such a referral, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed to such a referral, please say nay.
Nay.
I think we'd better count that, though I believe the nays have it. Those in favor, please rise and be counted. This is too important to call. But I think we've got to close it. And I think this is a way to think of the question, because that means it's not just
I thought from the beginning it was two motions.
Yeah, I'm glad.
The one against the other, obviously they are.
Mark, keep your eye on it.
Well,
you've
been our eye on it for some time. I first tried to get in there.
Yeah, I understand. You may be seated. In just a moment, we'll ask you to rise for the negative, but while they're calculating, just sit tight. I believe now we're ready toward the negative to rise and be counted. Failed. I think they want to be a number of people. Summarize accurately. Nonetheless, I think some kind of summary is helpful, but it is before them printed. Good. Thank you. You can be seated. They're calculating the vote still. What comes after this? The Ridgehaven report. What about the Senate Church Relations? Is this all finished? And yes. How about bills and overtures?
Well, I don't think they have ready.
Not ready. So we go in that order, Ridgehaven first? Okay. The vote is decisive against 341 and 4247. I'll read them again. The motion fails by a vote against of 341 to 247. Thank you very much. I believe that disposes of this part. There is some more business. A question, Mr. at number six, Mike Six. Yes, but
Jack Mayfield, Siouxland Presbytery. If it's in order, in light of the defeat of this previous motion, I'd like to offer this particular motion that future relations and mutual exchanges of ministers be actively pursued at all levels with the OPC, but without a formal invitation to join or receive the OPC at this time. Is the second like to speak to that?
Is that seconded? It is moved and seconded. It's in order, isn't it?
Fathers and brethren,
you may speak.
Unless our previous action seemed too harsh and a slap in the face to the bride that we left at the altar, to say that we just want to take some time for the dust to settle and for them to sort the affairs before them in their own house, I believe we need to take this action.
You've heard the motion. Is there a discussion? And I hear number Mike 7.
Dick Harris, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. The bride left the altar, sir.
Number 3.
I just have a question. Jim Weiss from Southwest Presbytery. The last motion we took, I really don't understand, because of the speed, what it meant. We voted half of it up and half of it down. Where are we now? We voted to give it to the committee, but not to the presbytery.
What happened was that we voted that future relations with the OPC be referred to the Permanent Committee on Interchurch Relations. They will continue to study the matter, presumably come back next assembly with recommendations of various kinds. We say it's in process.
Then it still has to go through the presbytery. We haven't stopped that.
Well, it won't.
I mean, for this year.
The assembly has not sent anything down to the presbyteries this year on the matter.
But before the matter is finalized, it must go to presbyteries.
Before it is finalized, it must go to the presbyteries, which cannot happen until the following year, the present situation. I believe that's the situation now. This motion is before us. I believe it's properly before us. Further discussion on this motion. Are you ready to vote? At number 4.
Robert Needham from Southeast Presbytery. I have a question, first of all. Do we not now presently have any relations, if I may use that pregnant phrase?
We do.
With the OPC?
We do.
Fraternal
relations.
Then it seems to me that this motion is probably more to meet our needs than theirs, and to be perceived as warm, loving, and invitational. And I think it's out of order, and I think it's simply a redundant and non-necessary action. I speak against it.
I take that as the argument against the motion that is before the House. The other one seeking the floor, number 9, Mike 9. Excuse me, Mike 10, I believe, was looking before. I didn't see. Mike 10.
Mr. Moderator, Frank Bark at Evangel, I call for the question.
The question is called for. This means I must put it to a vote. Tell a question of information or order. Number 9.
Motion for us, please. Can you read the motion for us? Some of us weren't clear as to what the motion was.
Yeah. Shall we read the question? We read the motion and then put the question.
That future relations and mutual exchanges of ministers be actively pursued at all levels with the OPC, but without a formal invitation to join and receive the OPC at this time.
Now the question is, shall the question now be put? And I'll put that to you. Those in favor of, this is cutting off debate, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. I believe it is carried, and I shall proceed to put the question. Those in favor of this motion, which was just read, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
I believe the nays have it.
Moderator, can I continue the course?
You may, if nobody calls for a division. I didn't hear anybody call for. Number six, you call for a division?
Henry Smith, may I call for division on the
division has
left
been requested.
Person.
Those in favor of the motion that was before the House, please rise and be counted. Clearly did not pass. This is the affirmative. Those in favor, standing.
They'll let us count, and then if the negative is positive, and if the negative is positive, we'll count.
You may be seated. Now, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to ask the opposite, the negative, to rise and see if it needs to be counted. I think the negative is very clear. The vote fails. Proceed with the...
Mr. Moderator, second. I would like to move the adoption of this report as a whole, and then I would like myself, if possible, to be able to make a personal amendment to this report.
Should that not be made before the adoption as a whole, or you think not personal? Okay, okay. It is moved that we adopt the report as a whole. We've gone through it point by point. Number nine, Mike, number nine, speak on this question.
Wallace Tinsley, Calvary Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, Mr. Chairman, I'll speak with regard to points 12 and 14 on page 543. Having voted with the majority to defeat the second half of point 12, and having voted with the majority to amend 14 in deleting points C and D, and having been assured that there may be some information that may bear on this situation with the ARP Church that our General Assembly may wish to hear, I move reconsideration of those portions of 12 and 14 that bear on the ARP Church.
You've heard the motion, and it has been seconded, I believe. It is a motion to reconsider, properly made, and it does require a two-thirds vote. No, just majority. We're reconsidering it. Just majority vote is required. Are you sure? Okay, sorry. So I'll put before you the question whether or not we shall reconsider it. Number 10, if you get to number 10, microphone, please.
Mr. Moderator, Palmer Robertson from the Presbytery of Mid-Atlantic. Could you please summarize what we're talking about? So
we are speaking on page 543. This is part of the report which we have been working on, and it is number 12 and number 14. Now, number 12, yesterday, the question was divided, and we approved reception of the Korean American Presbyterian Church into NAPARC, but the ARP we did not approve. And that negative toward the ARP is the motion is to reconsider. Also on number 14, about the same situation, the part that refers to the ARP, C and D, we did not pass yesterday. The claim is that there is new information, and we reconsider C and D.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, I would propose that we divide that question also into in reconsideration of these two matters. One has to do with comity, and one has to do with reception into the RPCES.
That is called for. I'm told that we have to vote to divide.
The NAPARC.
You move? You move to divide?
Yes, I do.
It is moved that we divide this question of reconsideration and make consider first reconsidering point 12B, and then secondly, reconsider point 14, C and D. Is that clear? We ready to reconsider? Those in favor of reconsidering point 12B, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
I would say the ayes have it. If you require a division, that is all right. I think we must remember that every division requires 5 minutes, but it has been called for by many. So you will stand and count on the reconsideration of 12B. Those in favor of reconsideration are standing. That
hardly looks like an idea.
I don't know. I thought on voice voted was the biggest thing. I disagreed with you on the sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hard to tell. Hard to tell on a negative.
Well, I want to see the ARP. I'm on the ARP committee, you know, and we voted for him as our last one.
I think that is tomorrow.
I would like to.
Yes, so would I. Very much like to.
You may be seated. Now those in against reconsideration, negative, please rise and be counted.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You may be seated. There is no question. The reconsideration of point 12B fails. Now shall we proceed to the reconsideration of point 14, C and B and C, C and D. Shall we reconsider the counting the seats? Yes. Shall we proceed to reconsideration C and of C and D? And Mike Nine has a question.
John Johnson, Texas Presbytery. During the initial motion that was made, there was a statement that seen has been recent events that have taken place since yesterday. Should we reconsider it? My question is, what recent events does the General Assembly have knowledge of that we do not have knowledge of that would influence that reconsideration before I vote whether or not to reconsider it? Thank you.
I'm not sure that it is necessary to give those data. Pardon? Yeah. Is it proper to require that? Well, I'm told that it is all right to bring that into the debate of why we should reconsider, and so you have a good, you have a right to ask for such information. Mr. Taylor, Dr. Taylor, do you want to give us some at least of that information?
Mr. Moderator, I have been in contact with Erskine College and with our fraternal delegate at Erskine College on two separate occasions. The ARP General Synod had before it, through a special committee, certain recommendations asking for further clarification of the Lawndale situation and asking for further communications with us over the Lawndale situation, and expressing dissatisfaction with the response that they had received from us over the Lawndale situation. And the General Synod had killed those recommendations, has killed those proposals, in effect has cleared the slate, and in effect has said that they are prepared to accept what the Presbyterian Church in America has done. And this was accomplished by not by a positive vote, but rather by defeating recommendations that were to have been made by the special committee. And I am assured by Mr. Henry Boss, who is the fraternal delegate down there, that the mood of the Synod is one of acceptance and receptivity and of comity, in our direction. And he says that the mood and the spirit of the Synod is one that is very strongly supportive at this point, and that he feels a little bit like the Japanese ambassador in Washington on the Pearl Harbor day in respect to fraternal greetings and fraternal relations down there with them, who are apparently taking actions in our direction at a time when we are refusing to take actions in their direction. And this is a reason for the effort to ask you if you would be interested, in reconsidering. The four parts of that proposal in relation to the ARP were a sort of a package deal in which we agreed that we would accept and state this to the Assembly as a part of our effort at reconciliation. To emasculate the four parts and to take two of them and throw them away, in effect, reject what the two committees were trying to do with each other. I fully understand what Dr. Robinson has to say about the word comity, but this was the language the two committees accepted. And furthermore, it is not to establish comity, it's to investigate the possibility of studying perhaps whether or not we want to consider maybe proposing comity arrangements. So there isn't anything binding. Now, in respect to the NAPARC matter,
that Dr. Taylor, has been closed. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Are we ready to vote? This more information has come to us. Shall we vote on? We are reconsidering. We have done that.
The question.
That's right. The question is: shall we reconsider points C and D, which we turned down last time? Those in favor of reconsidering, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against reconsidering, please say nay.
Nay.
Sounds like a negative to me.
Yes.
I believe it has been turned down. The vote loses. So the matter is closed there, and we go on to the balance of the report.
Mr. Moderator, having moved the adoption of the report as a whole, I would like to make a personal recommendation. It would be number 16 on the Interchurch Relations Committee report. I hope not to tax the tolerance of this court, but just to make this recommendation briefly, here it is, that the Committee on Administration, as soon as possible, develop an assembly-wide Sunday of recognition in order to engage simultaneously the people of the churches in celebration of the enlarging of the church through joining and receiving. And if I receive a second, I would like to speak to it.
Is there a second? Moved and seconded, you can speak.
This particular recommendation comes after discussing a matter that came to the committee late, before we could really enter into committee deliberation concerning this, with some of the brethren from the church that has joined and we have received, and I believe that this would be a good means of educating our denomination concerning one another as we have joined together, and I believe it would be a helpful thing for our church as a whole and for the people who are the members of our local congregation.
Number eight, you're discussing this motion.
I would like a point of order before we move completely away from this. And it is not directly on this motion. A point of information. Are we going to continue the Interchurch Relations Committee as we have done it? Pardon me, Don Darling from Gulf Coast Presbytery. As we have done it in times past actively, is that what the motion, not directly here, but answer this after we voted on this, but are we going to continue an active Interchurch Relations Committee as we have before?
My understanding is that we do, yes. That's the permanent committee, is it not?
Yes.
Permanent subcommittee, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. That answer the question? This motion is before you. Is there any question or debate? I see nobody asking. Yes. Pardon? No, no, this is not on the committee as a whole. This is an additional motion that has just been made. That's a motion to develop a Sunday of celebration to celebrate the JNR. Those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered.
Mr. Moderator, I would move you the adoption of this report as a whole.
It has been moved that we adopt the report as a whole. Your question and
one,
the
yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Moderator, we received the delegates from the Korean American Presbyterian Church, and at that time Dr. Samuel Chang was off the floor. If I have tried to find him, if he is in the room, Mr. Moderator, I should like to request the assembly to welcome Dr. Samuel Chang and Mr. Lee from the Korean American Presbyterian Church for a moment of greetings before we conclude the report, if they are in the hall.
Does anyone know if they are in the hall or available?
I do not see them, Mr. Moderator.
If not, we will have them introduced at an appropriate time when they are here. Dr. Aiken, you kind of look out for them and bring them some other time. Thank you. The motion is that we approve the report as a whole. Would you like to speak on this, number 7? Yes.
Frank Smith, Philadelphia Presbytery. I'd like to make a motion that the expenses of ministers at General Assembly shall be defrayed by the presbyteries of which they are members who would not be able to attend otherwise.
Mr. Moderator, I rise to the point of order.
Yes.
This item does not refer to the church. To the committee report that's before the General Assembly. We are dealing with inter-church relations right now.
Yes, this is that would come up at a different time. Thank you. We're ready to vote on the question of the report as a whole. Number 4, microphone number 4.
Bob Raymond, Ileana. If I may speak a conviction after this vote is taken, I'll refrain from saying something now. But if the vote closes off this committee report so that I can't address it, then I would have to speak now.
I think you should speak now.
What I want to say, brothers, is it's hard for me to say, but I say it out of a matter of conviction and out of a matter of conscience. I oppose the ARP by my vote, being allowed to become a member of the NAPARC Association. But I have some real doubts as to whether the Christian Reformed Church should be in this, for reasons that I think perhaps are more serious than what I have against the ARP. On the other hand, if we as the majority, which we did, rejected the ARPs as a member in the NAPARC, it's hard for me to see how we can continue to have fraternal relations. I'm only speaking now as a matter of conscience and a matter of conviction.
I think that you are out of order unless there is a motion on the House, on the floor. There is no motion on the floor that you're speaking to.
It was a point of personal privilege.
Yes. Yes. Number 3, mic number 3.
Mr. Moderator, Gene Case, Grace Presbytery. I move an amendment to the report that the 10th General Assembly instructed Subcommittee on Interchurch Relations to investigate recent developments in the Christian Reformed Church with respect to the widely reported controversies involving questions of the authority of Scripture within the Christian Reformed Church, and report to the 11th General Assembly as to what effect, if any, these developments should have on future relations with the Christian Reformed Church.
You've heard this motion that has been seconded. I really think that now you might speak to this.
Mr. Moderator.
Number 7, I think, is that.
Mr. Moderator, may I?
Number 3, sorry, you have the right, yes, to speak first.
Mr. Moderator, Dr. Raymond has spoken some on this, and I'm in agreement with him on that. I think that there is sufficient evidence. Those of us who do keep up with some of these things know perhaps a little bit more than those who are removed from the Christian Reformed Church by any reports through magazines and so forth. But there obviously is a controversy. There are problems in the CRC. This allows the Interchurch Relations Committee to very calmly investigate this matter without entering into the question on the floor of the Assembly, and it can be dealt with, and we can hear more about it from them later on. Thank you, sir.
Mic number 7, and ask for the floor.
George Brangle, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I move the previous question on the amendment and the main motion.
The amendment? There's not an amendment before the floor. There's a motion. I guess it could be called an amendment to the report as a whole. So your motion is that the previous question on the amendment, did you say, and the report as a whole?
And the report as a whole.
The previous question on the amendment and the report as a whole. That was seconded. So we must...
In other words, shall we put the question?
Yes.
Shall we put the question?
So we proceed to ask, shall we put the question? And I must ask for your vote. Shall we put the question? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It would require a two-thirds vote. It had two-thirds. We'll rule without the count. That has a two-thirds vote, so we shall proceed to put the question. The question is that the 10th GA General Assembly instruct a subcommittee and the Interchurch Relations to investigate recent developments in the Christian Reformed Church with respect to the widely reported controversies involving questions of the authority of Scripture within the CRC, and report to the 11th General Assembly as to what effect, if any, these developments should have on future relations with the CRC. Those who favor this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who oppose, nay. It is carried. And the previous question also carried a vote on the report as a whole. The report is before you as a whole, and I must put it to a vote. You have a matter of question of order, Mr. Kumbacher, number 3.
According to my Robert, the previous question can only apply to the motion before the House, whether it be a subsidiary motion or a main motion. You cannot, Mr. Moderator, I believe, call a previous question on an amendment and the main question at the same moment.
I would stand corrected if that can be found in the book. I was of another opinion. Can you check me? My impression is that the previous question can be specified, but I may be wrong. We'll research the matter. We think. Not anything is on the floor. I rule we cannot find anything to the contrary. Thank you for bringing it up, but my impression is, and I would rule, that the previous question can be applied to the amendment and the main motion both. And so on that basis, I would put the previous question unless there is an objection to the chair. The question then before us would be, is the vote as a whole? Question? Find it yet. Requires a two-thirds vote. Its effect is confined to the immediately pending motion, be it subsidiary motion, amendment, or main motion, unless it specifically indicates otherwise, as closed debate on all pending questions, or all subsidiary motions, or all motions except the main question. I gather you can specify, and I believe it was specified. Thank you. So I must put the vote to you. Shall the report as a whole be adopted? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, the same nay. Is so. Thank you very much for the report.
Mr. Moderator, we now move to the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Ridgehaven, and those papers should be distributed at this point.
Perhaps it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to rise for just 2 minutes to stretch and sit down again while these reports are being distributed. Let's keep order while we do it.
I'll let them rise while I sit down.
That motion on CRC, oh yes. I'm sorry. Oh, it's not too bad. It's there for study.
Well, I don't personally need to go to this note there. But we've got Nate Park and making a practice.
Yeah.
I think that'll be consistent.
Yeah, but I think it'll be a little bit more obvious what it is now. CRC themselves are debating it hot and heavy. I kind of let them have a chance to debate it before I did. We ought not to take time and get the assembly dispersed. Shall we take our seats and come back to order? This is 12:00. Shall we be seated, please? Page 1105 is being distributed. Shall we do it as orderly and quietly as possible? Is there anyone who does not have this yellow paper? There are a few. It will greatly help if the men of the assembly will take their seats and not be moving around while the pages are distributing the page, and we can get on with the business. The last time I tell them to get up to stretch.
They're rising.
Yes, I suppose. We are ready to begin the report. We must have quiet in the hall.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Chuck Frost, Central Georgia Presbytery Chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Ridgehaven. Gentlemen, let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you for the life that you've given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We indeed ask for continued strength as we do your work here. The hours are becoming longer, the work a bit tedious, and we pray that as we tire from time to time, we would not give way to accommodation, but we would be committed to doing your work in a way that would glorify your name. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mr. Moderator, I move you, sir, that we waive the reading of anything on this report except the recommendation.
It has been moved. I hear no objection. The report is before you. It is adopted.
The report is page 1105 in your handbook, as distributed, and recommendations are these.
Gentlemen, shall we hear the report? Give attention. Please keep your seats. There is confusion. We can't do the business rapidly or effectively unless we pay attention. Please.
Number one, that the minutes as listed below be approved as indicated. June 4th, 1981 with no notations. August 7th, 1981 with notations. October 24th, 1981 without exception. January 22nd, 1982 without exception. Those should read notations. April 26, 1982, with notation. Number two, that the audit report be approved as submitted. Number three, that Mr. Ed Robinson, Administrator Ridgehaven, be retained as Administrator through the 1983 General Assembly, and that he be granted 15 minutes to present a progress report on Ridgehaven. Number four, that Ken Kies, Director of Development of Ridgehaven, be given 10 minutes to report on the development program for Ridgehaven. Number five, that the churches be encouraged to have a Ridgehaven representative present the conference center to their congregation. Number six, that churches, presbyteries, and general assembly committees be encouraged to use the facilities of Ridgehaven for retreats, conferences, and other meetings whenever possible. Number seven, that churches be requested to include Ridgehaven Conference Center in their annual budget. Number eight, that the 1983 budget be approved. Number nine, that the General Assembly express gratitude to the Permanent Committee on Ridgehaven Incorporated and its administrator, Mr. Ed Robeson, the third, and Mr. Kenneth Kies, Director of Development, for the outstanding leadership they provided for the development of Ridgehaven during the past year. Recommendation number one, the minutes as listed below be approved as indicated June the 4th, 1981 with no notations, August the 7th, 1981 with notations, October 24th, 1981 without notations, January 22nd, 1982 without notations, and April 26th, 1982 with notations. Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I move you, sir, that be approved.
I see no objection. Is there any question? If not, these are approved. May I interrupt just to say that after this report is over, we shall proceed to the Covenant College report, the Lord willing, and those that are concerned there might be concerned to get ready. Thank you. Number two?
Recommendation two, that the audit report be approved as submitted. I move you, sir, to adopt.
Any question or objection? If not, it is approved.
Item three, that Mr. Ed Robeson, administrator of Ridgehaven, be retained as administrator through the 1983 General Assembly, and that he be granted 15 minutes to present a progress report on Ridgehaven. I move you, sir, to adopt.
You expect him to have a 15-minute slot now?
Immediately
following the report. Right. That's understood. I see no objection. Is there any question? It is adopted.
Item four, that Ken Kies, Director of Development of Ridgehaven, be given 10 minutes to report on the development program for Ridgehaven. I move you, sir, to adoption.
Any question? Objection? I see none. It is adopted.
Item five, the churches be encouraged to have a Ridgehaven representative present the conference center to their congregations. I move you, sir, to adoption.
Number five, that churches be encouraged to have a Ridgehaven representative present the conference center to their congregation. This one I shall ask you to vote on and to consider. Those in favor of this, and think seriously if you can do it, those in favor of this, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. It is adopted.
Item six, that churches, presbyteries, and general assembly committees be encouraged to use the facilities of Ridgehaven for retreats, conferences, and other meetings whenever possible. I move you, sir, to adoption.
Is there any objection or question? There's no question about how. I guess there's no question of what is a very fine thing. It is adopted.
Item seven, that churches be requested to include Ridgehaven Conference Center in their annual budget. Now, before I move you, sir, at adoption, let me just make this comment that I have been given information to understand that if each church in our denomination were to put Ridgehaven in their budget for the remarkably low sum of $25 per month, that all of their operating budget would be covered for the entire year, and therefore all the money that would be contributed to Ridgehaven would be able to be used for development. That's just a matter of information. I move number seven as for your adoption.
Number seven has been presented for our adoption. Mike, number eight, a question or something.
The 1983 budget.
Excuse me. Number eight. Mike, number eight. This is not yet adopted.
Mr. Moderator, Charles Winkler from Presbytery of the Ascension. What is the difference between requesting and encouraging? And I'm not quite familiar how we relate as churches between the churches and the General Assembly committees. And what does it mean for me to go and approve that the churches be requested? What is the force of that?
The force of urge is a little stronger than request. Right? And request is a little stronger than ask. I think that's the extent of my wisdom. These are motions that are urging motions, and they have value and effect only as we listen to them. And as we do, some of the things are requested. Now, some churches have special interests. I was thinking it might be a whole lot better to have some of these requests after we see some pictures and hear a presentation. We're passing these requests, but you should keep your eyes and ears open to the presentation, where we will be the more encouraged to put them into effect. Thank you. Number 7 is before us, and is there any question or objection? If not, it also is adopted.
Item 8, that the 1983 budget be approved. I move that third to adopt it.
Does that come here, or does that come with the...
I'm under the impression that that comes now because it's not a funded budget, but only an approved budget.
Uh-huh. Yes, this is a separate budget from that which is approved. So this is in order here, we understand. The 1983 budget, is that presented to us at any place? Where is that budget? Do we?
12, 13.
Page 1213 gives us that budget, if you're interested, in the bottom line, as we say.
As you're turning there, for you brethren who might not be familiar with this kind of a budget, it is that the assembly gives the Ridge Haven organization the authority to raise that money, but does not fund it. And so then they have the authority to go in the name of the church in Ridge Haven and raise that budget.
The budget is presented on page 1213, and as has been said, this is up to the Ridge Haven itself to raise it, with, we trust, your cooperation and support. Number 8, is there any question? Objection? If not, it also is adopted.
Item 9, please note an editorial change. That permanent committee should read Board of Directors. And then let me read it in a corrected form, that the General Assembly expressed gratitude to the Board of Directors of Ridge Haven, Inc., and to its administrator, Mr. Ed Robinson III, and to Mr. Kenneth S. Kies, Director of Development, for the outstanding leadership they have provided for the development of Ridge Haven during the past year. I move you, sir, its adoption.
Number 9, and this is an expression of gratitude and thanks. I'll ask you to vote on it. Those in favor of number 9, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, I move you, sir, the adoption of the report as a whole, understanding that Mr. Ed Robinson and Mr. Ken Kies will give their reports immediately following the report.
It is moved that the report as a whole be approved. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? Nay? Thank you. It is approved. And now Mr. Ed Robinson, is he prepared? Do you want us to clear the platform? No. Okay.
I'm well aware that it's been a long day and yet some other hours ahead of you, so I'll try to tell you what I think you need to know and want to know, but won't belabor you with things that you don't necessarily need to know. If you're interested in some pictures and slides, we have them up there at the table and be glad to show them to you. We will not take the time of the whole assembly to show them to you. Now, nothing happens very much without people. And in some cases, even when you get the people, nothing much happens. But when you do get the people, you first have to identify what you're going to do and then how you're going to do it. Some of the presentations you've already had put before you, and I'm sure some of the ones you will yet have, will deal with getting people and getting them trained to do things the way they ought to be done, be it in the pulpit ministry, missionary on the foreign field, or what have you. Now, where do the people come from? Those of us with long memories can remember back to when one point in time we were young people. And whether we are aware of it or not, most of the decisions for the kind of work we are interesting ourselves in are made when people are in their young person stage. Those who are knowledgeable in these facts have made me aware that more young people come to a point of a believing faith in Christ as their Savior or come to a point of a commitment for a Christian vocation in a camp or conference type situation than in the other church-related circumstances that they're put in. This makes a Ridge Haven facility a very important facility to the ongoing process of our church. The workers of the future are going to come from our young people, and we need to confront them with the opportunities of Christian service and with the importance of Christian salvation in their youth years. Now, if you wonder why the Lord chooses to work this way, I can't explain it to you, but I can just tell you that it is a fact that when you get young people off, and even older people, away from the normal surroundings that they're used to, and put them in a concentrated study situation, that the Holy Spirit does indeed touch their lives. This is really what Ridge Haven is all about. Now, what do you have at Ridge Haven? Currently, you have 820 acres of beautiful Blue Ridge Mountain land. You have two lodges that will each accommodate 52 people. You have three dormitories that will each accommodate 44 people. You have an office maintenance building, which is primarily the gift of a Methodist and a Lutheran brother who were interested in Ridge Haven. You have a cafeteria that will seat 130 at a time, a meeting room that will seat up to 250. You have a camping area with 19 camping spots, 15 of which have water and electrical hookup. There is also a restroom and bath building in the camp area with hot and cold running water. You have a picnic shelter that will accommodate groups of up to 50 that has lights and running water. You have a caretaker's house. You have a 1.5 acre lake. And you probably didn't add up all those figures, but what it means is that on a given night, 268 people can find bed space at Ridge Haven at this point in time, in addition to what goes in the camping area. Now, of the 820 acres, approximately 120 acres has been set aside for residential lots. 36 of those lots have been taken up by individuals who are interested in having a home place at Ridge Haven. We now have five substantial homes that have been built and are currently occupied in those lots. We make every effort to exercise good stewardship with the funds that you send us. I don't know how familiar you are with current building costs, but the type of building we're doing is running somewhere $42 to $45 a square foot in the commercial market in most of the places that you live. We're getting it done through the services of a Christian builder for $28 a square foot. And we feel that this is certainly the blessing of the Lord. In fact, on an everyday basis, we see the Lord's hand in what we are doing. Another example is when we put in the water system just recently. We put in 1.5 miles of water main, along with a 100,000-gallon water tank. A PCA ruling elder from Marietta, Georgia, came up with his contracting crew to put this in for us, and he was quite fearful of what he would run into digging pipeline trenches in the mountains. But the Lord was working before him. He didn't hit a single area in which there was rock that his backhoes could not move, so that we didn't have to do any blasting. In fact, they on one day laid 1,700 feet of water main, and any of you who've had any experience of that know that even down in Florida, that would be a good day's work just digging sand. Now, who uses Ridge Haven? Presbytery groups have had junior high retreats there. Presbytery senior high groups have had retreats there. We had a denomination-wide college and career weekend there this past February. Dr. Clowney from Westminster Seminary was the speaker. Coming up in July, and if you haven't heard about it, again, if you'll stop by either the CE table or the Ridgehaven table, you can pick up a folder on the senior high week that is going to be held the last of July. This is a joint effort between the Christian Ed Committee and Calvary Presbytery. And I'm sure you would want to encourage your senior high young people to attend. In August, there's going to be an adult Bible conference. Women in the church groups have used Ridgehaven in the past and are already reserving space for it in the future. In fact, one of the things we found that almost without exception, every group that has come to Ridgehaven once has either already returned at least a second time or has a reservation to do so. And we think that speaks well for what they see the hand of the Lord do while they're there. Men of the Covenant groups have held meetings there. Sunday school classes have used Ridgehaven as a place for retreats. Golden Age clubs have found that Ridgehaven can serve their needs. And we've had four churches that brought working groups up there on a retreat basis. One of them stayed a whole week. And if you would have such an interest and would let us know ahead of time, we will have appropriate work arranged so that there is something for you to do constructive when you come. It doesn't have to be an all-day, everyday effort. It can just be a couple of hours. But we appreciate any volunteer work we get, and we'll be glad to cooperate with you. We have nature trails, and those of you who've been living primarily in the cities may not understand the real value of nature trails or getting out in the woodlands. But one of the things we've robbed our young people of is seeing God's beauty firsthand. The variety of wildflowers are just almost staggering. We have quite a variety of different trees. There are a number of birds that as one walks through the woods they can see and hear. We have quite a plentiful supply of wild animal life. And here again we have slides to demonstrate this up there on the table. One slide's of a ruffed grouse walking along a tree limb. I don't know how many of you have seen ruffed grouse close up. Recently I was showing someone a lot, and as we rounded a curve, there was a ruffed grouse in the middle of the road pecking up gravel out of the gravel road. How many of you have had a young person see a skunk carrying its kitten just like a cat does? Or did you know that a skunk does that? There's just all sorts of interesting things that you can see at Ridgehaven. The most exciting thing that goes on at Ridgehaven, though, is watching the hand of the Lord work. On a day-by-day basis, in little things, in big things, we see the Lord make his provision in supplying us with needs, working out problems on the construction. But the most exciting thing is to be there and be privileged to see the change that takes place in people's lives. And this has happened over and over and over again as people would come up there and either find their salvation in Christ for the first time and become aware of their lostness as a sinner and that there is hope, or seeing those who come and renew their relationship with the Lord. But it's the most exciting thing and a privilege to be there and see it. One of the things we do at Ridgehaven is every Wednesday morning in the office, all of those who can come in at 10:30 and we have a prayer meeting for Ridgehaven. And we divide the prayer meeting into two categories as we make our list. The first list is the praise items for the things that the Lord has done in the past week, and we always have a number of items put on that list. The second list is the request list of the things we asking the Lord's guidance on in the days that come. We know that you can't join us physically every Wednesday, but we would covet your joining us not only on Wednesday, but at such other times as you would feel led. We would particularly like your prayer support. Ridgehaven is a place in the mountains for God and His people. We want everything that's done there, be it the building program or be it the programs of the groups that come there, to be honoring to the Lord. And we would ask that you would pray that we and those who use it would be faithful to doing that. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure it thrilled your hearts to hear this report, not only of the buildings at Ridgehaven, but the things that are being done in those buildings. Ed failed to mention one building that has been completed and was put in operation on June 22nd, and that's our motel. We have an 11 or 12 room motel where people can come and stay, and it's a nice motel. Members of PCA who are here and were present at the 1978 General Assembly will recall that at that time, when the Assembly authorized us to start developing Ridgehaven, it was understood that Ridgehaven would not look to the funding by the General Assembly benevolence funds, but would raise its own money for the support and the development of Ridgehaven. Our development to date has been made possible by just a few large gifts. We felt that it would be wise to firmly establish the conference center and have a real growing concern there before we went out at large and appealed to the church for funds. These initial funds that made possible the purchase of the property and the building of most of the buildings that have been erected to date have now been exhausted. So the time has come where we must look to the church at large and to individual donors in the church at large and to churches to provide the funds we need to complete the center. In the planning that was done for the center, originally we hired one of the most competent conference center planners in the country to plan our operation. And we told him at that time that we wanted a center that would accommodate about 1,200 people so that we could have meetings of our General Assembly there if the Assembly elects to meet there. We have now, as Ed has told you, we are now able to accommodate about 300 people at one time, a little more than that. And so we have accomplished one-fourth of our goal. But much remains to be done, and of course some of the more expensive buildings are still to be built. How are we going to get that money? Last year, the gifts to benevolences in PCA churches totaled approximately $15 million. I haven't any figures for the 187 RPCES churches that are now a part of our fellowship, but I'm sure they would bring the total to something over $20 million, or $2 million, $20 million. I'm frequently asked, how long will it take us to complete the center and have it ready for use? If only 3/4 of 1% of the money that's going from our churches into general benevolences, all types of benevolences, if 3/4 of 1% could be channeled to Ridgehaven, I would estimate that we would complete the job in less than 10 years. Looking at it another way, if every member of every PCA church would contribute just $1 a month, $12 a year, we could complete the center, I think, in a period of 10 years' time. So we're not looking at a long-term program. We're not looking at an impossible task. Our proposed operating budget for 1983 is $211,000 $47,000 of which is the interest and principal payment on our property. As our chairman of the Assembly's committee pointed out, if every church in the Assembly would contribute $25 a month, $300 a year, that would completely cover our operating budget and leave all of the funds that we raise from individuals and churches and other places that we could use for development. Several ministers have mentioned to me that they want to see Ridgehaven put in their budget, but it's too late for this year. I would like to suggest to you that although it might be too late to include it in your budget, there would be no harm at all in your taking some of our literature someday and designating Ridgehaven Sunday and taking up a special collection that would certainly cover that small amount. There are probably at least 10 members in our denomination. I don't know where they are, but there are probably at least 10 members in our denomination could, without difficulty, give $1 million to help with the completion of Ridgehaven. There are many more members who could give from $10,000 to $100,000 to build some of the smaller structures that we will need. And of course, there are hundreds of members in our denomination who could give from $500 to $5,000 over the next few years to help in furnishing and equipping these buildings. We need to know who these people are so that we can send them a brochure showing them how their investment in Ridgehaven will pay rich and lasting dividends that will give them more satisfaction than any dividends they're ever going to get from their stocks or bonds or real estate. As many of you know, I've been deeply interested in the matter of stewardship for many years. Only recently, however, I heard what I think is the best short-term, expression of the best advice that one can give to someone who has been richly blessed by the Lord financially. And this is what it is. Do your giving while you're living. Then you're knowing where it's going. Do your giving while you're living. Then you're knowing where it's going. But don't for one minute, I mentioned some of these larger sums, but don't think for one minute that we aren't interested in having thousands of individual donors who can give us just a few dollars a year. I'd like to feel that every member of every PCA church would like to have a little part in the building of Ridgehaven. And so I would encourage all of the gifts that we can get. We brought along to this assembly 5,000 copies of this little green folder that you've been giving you with the report. On one page of that folder, you'll find a list of building materials, the gifts of $10 to $100 would buy. On another page, you'll find a list of furniture and equipment items that we can buy with from $10 to $250. I'm hoping and praying that every one of you, before you leave this assembly Friday night, will pick up at the Ridgehaven booth 4 or 5 copies of this folder with the gift envelopes enclosed, take them home with you, and pass them out to friends of yours that might be interested, encouraging them to help with this project. We've gotten a real impetus going there, a real development going there, and it would be a tragedy if we had to slow up now and wait for a long time for the rest of the money to come in. And if you would all do that, I'm sure that the response over the church would be encouraging and would provide some money that we'll have next year to continue with this development program. You men will occasionally come across situations where a gift, a memorial gift, would be in order. The women of the church in one of the churches in South Carolina last year wanted to memorialize a friend, a member of their group that they had a great respect for. They decided that each one of them would lay aside $1 a week for 13 weeks. And then they sent us a check that would cover the furnishings for one of the bedrooms in our motel. Another group, the women of the church, heard about that, and they did the same thing. But you would know when opportunities might arise in your area for someone to give a memorial gift. And if you will let us know about that, we will, in a tactful way, without any pressure of any kind, suggest that possibility. I would like to make a special request of all of the men who are here from the RPCES churches that now are a part of our body. About twice a year, we plan to get out a little paper called Ridge Haven News that will bring your people up to date on the developments there and on how the conference center is being used, other interesting information about Ridge Haven. We need to know, we'll be getting out our first issue this year in the next month or two. We need to know about how many bulletins you give out every Sunday, because we'd like to send you enough of those folders to insert in your Sunday bulletin. You will save us a lot of time and energy and money if when you go home you just write a letter to Ed Robeson, Ridge Haven, or to Ridge Haven, Box 565, Rosamond, North Carolina, 28772, and give us the number of these folders that you would use to pass out with your bulletin. That will be very helpful to us. It will also help us if you will designate someone in your church to act as Ridge Haven's key man. We're developing a special program for key men and key women. I should have mentioned the women, because we welcome a key woman just as much as we do a key man. And we'd like to have you suggest in that letter someone in your church who would be a logical person to represent us there. In helping us complete Ridge Haven, you will be helping to provide a place where thousands of boys and girls will be led to accept Jesus Christ in the years to come, where many of our finest young people will decide to become ministers, missionaries, and other servants in God's kingdom, where thousands of church officers, Bible school teachers, and other leaders will become better equipped to serve the Lord at conferences and seminars that they will be attending there. Our most pressing need today is for rental apartments for family occupants. In closing, may I point out that the dollars we invest in Ridge Haven today will go much farther than they will later on when the building industry returns to normal. Good stewardship, therefore, should prompt us to try to complete as many buildings as possible while the industry is still depressed. One final thought. If Ridge Haven had only one purpose, to strengthen the faith of our children and grandchildren and enable them to resist the temptations of habit-forming drugs and premarital sex and all the other temptations that confront them today, your investment in this conference center would be fully justified. Please put us on your prayer list, praying that God will lay it on the hearts of our people to undergird this effort with their prayers and with their financial support, to the end that we will be able to develop this place in the mountains for God and his people, as some people have called it, and to complete it within a reasonable period of time. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. God bless you as you continue to develop and think about this conference center of ours.
Thank you. I believe this concludes the report on Ridge Haven, and I believe we turn next to the report on Covenant College. The brethren from Covenant College prepared to give a report. And are there some things to pass out? I believe there are.
They've already been passed out.
They've already been passed out. Thank you.
Is George Long here? Oh, good. Mr. Moderator? I have noticed that when God gets ready to work a miracle, he first creates an impossible situation, and he's really provided us with one now, a real inopportune time to instill enthusiasm in a group for a certain cause. I'm here to report for Covenant College. First, let us pray. We understand, Lord, that we are to love thee with our minds. We hope that our hearts and our strength and our souls also belong to thee. So we want thee to have our minds and our minds to be as sharp as they possibly can be. We thank thee for this college, the hospitality of which we're enjoying this week. And we pray now for Covenant College, that thou will plant thoughts in the minds of assembly commissioners that will prosper that college and make it more useful to thee and to our church. In Jesus' name, amen. My name is George Long. I'm a teaching elder from the Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I'm new in the denomination. Anything good about this report is due to Gene Craven, the secretary, who did most of the work in preparing it. But I'm qualified to be the chairman of this committee and to present the report because I'm a near neighbor of Covenant College, serving a congregation in the neighborhood. You'll notice that the report begins with Roman numeral number 2. Number 1 is the report of the president of the college, which is number 1501 in your book. And also the minutes of the college, which were distributed, I think, just to the Committee of Commissioners, but probably not to all of you. We recommend that the committee, that the minutes of the college for October 29 and 30, 1981, and October 25 and 26, 1982, be approved. Is this proper?
That's proper. Is there any question or objection to the approval of these minutes? If not, they stand approved.
We recommend that thanksgiving and praise to God for Covenant College, for the trustees, administration, faculty, staff, and student body be offered, and that we express gratitude that Covenant College is a PCA college. Also recommend that Dr. Essenberg, and by the way, that's spelled E-S-S-E-N-B-U-R-G, his staff and faculty be thanked for their faithfulness in their ministry for Christ at Covenant College. I move that recommendation.
Been moved. Any question or debate? If not, shall we put our voice to this? I'll ask you to vote. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered.
We further move that the General Assembly hear a brief report from Dr. Martin Essenberg, President of Covenant College. I move that.
Any question or objection to that? If not, it will be adopted. He will give that report after the conclusion. Is that right? Not this moment, but after the conclusion.
Give it right now.
Give it right now. Okay. Dr. Essenberg, we'll hear from you.
Fathers and brethren, it's a great privilege for me to address you and to be with you in this very special General Assembly. Many of us came, I'm sure, wondering just what we would experience, what the spirit of the body would be in our first time together. And as I sat with you in our opening sessions, I was thinking of an old Russian proverb that says, if you want to understand a people, you have to do three things. You have to buy groceries in the marketplace. You have to eat ice cream in the train station. And you have to listen to their songs. Obviously, we couldn't do the first two for one another. But my heart was thrilled and moved as I heard all of us joining in praise to God in song. Surely we are one people bound together in our Lord Jesus Christ. Covenant College is very well known to some of you and not very well known to many others of you. I'm much aware of that as I address you. I know that I'll be ignoring some things that some should hear, and I'll be repeating some things that others know very well. Please bear with me on that score. The college began 27 years ago, and some 18 years ago moved from St. Louis to its present location atop Lookout Mountain. Through all these years, the purpose has been recorded in the words of Paul, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. There's been a lot of growth and a lot of change, of course, in the 27-year period, but that has remained very secure, and we work hard at keeping it that way, though we want to be alert to changes in our world and new opportunities that confront us. I'll be speaking about that in just a minute or two. We enjoy a magnificent location, 2,100 feet above sea level. We offer a really spectacular view from the campus and a lot of great natural beauty all through the area. Our enrollment last fall was 529. This year, we're projecting 542. Our students this last year came from 38 different states and 23 foreign countries. The leading states, not surprisingly, have been Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee, in that order. Two-thirds of our students come from various Presbyterian and Reformed bodies, and the final third come from a wide variety of other churches, primarily Baptist and Independent. There's a lot more information that I could give to you, but I'd like to continue with some other thoughts, and I would encourage you to pick up some factual data at our booth, which is up in the area over here. Our denominational college offers something to students that is very rich, something that's very precious. I'd like to explain to you why I think that is. We have a very sound philosophy of education. We have a purpose expressed in those words I shared with you earlier, that in all things Christ might have preeminence. And that purpose is fleshed out in a very good statement of purpose. You'll find it on our table up there. You'll find it also in our catalog. I encourage you to take some time and read it. I deserve no credit whatsoever for it. It was put together years ago and very well done. We have also a very good curriculum. It's broad and it's growing. I've talked to all of you in both assemblies over the past years, and I know that some of you haven't been there and you really don't know anything about that curriculum. I want to say that we have 21 different majors. We have just about all the things that would come to your minds as you think about college majors. The most recent addition was a major in computer science, a field into which we are going next fall with the use of a very generous grant that enabled us to buy a powerful computer, the software, do the renovating of facilities, and even provide the professor for the first year. We have 15 students already signed up to major in computer science, and we have a lot more students in other fields that are very pleased to have that as a related course. We have a sound philosophy. We have a very good curriculum, not only with those majors, but offering also pre-professional training for those who wish to go on to seminary or to medical school or to law school or to study further in engineering. Got a great program in conjunction with Georgia Tech. But all of that isn't worth much if a college doesn't have a faculty, staff, and administration really committed to it and really well qualified to that task. I'm very thankful to the Lord that we have just that. Two-thirds of our professors have earned doctorates in their teaching fields. That's an unusually high percentage for our kind of small Christian liberal arts college. All of these people love the Lord Jesus Christ and really do strive to teach in the light of His Word. That's our task, day by day, that students really might see the revelation of God and might see that all truth is His and should be studied in a spirit of reverence and respect. The students themselves add a lot to the college, coming from a variety of backgrounds and areas, but having this in common, that Jesus Christ is their Savior. It's enriching for them to spend those years together. What vision do we have for the future, and especially in this year, 1982, with a larger denomination to serve? The vision is really built upon serving an increasing number of your churches and your young people. Why do we find that exciting? Well, first of all, because I believe it's going to build unity in our larger denomination. As these students come together, work together, sing together, and then go into the world and into our churches as servants of the Lord, it's going to help unify our denomination. Secondly, I'm excited about it because Covenant has something so excellent, which I outlined for you. It's something that is so much richer and so superior to the godless secularism that you find on so many campuses. We yearn to have hundreds more young people take advantage of it. Thirdly, we're excited about this vision because we see in Covenant College a marvelous instrument with which we can have an impact upon our world. I think all of us here today sense a new call to Presbyterian churches in America and to building a body that will really have an impact on our nation and upon our world. The kingdom of our Lord can increase as people who are well trained go out to serve. Upstairs, the latest edition of our newspaper called The Courier can be found. And in that courier, we give a rundown of just a few of our graduates. Let me give you some illustrations of what these real people are doing. It isn't just a theoretical kind of idea that I'm trying to explain to you, but it's the lives of people who will in turn touch others. Listen to what just 7 or 8 of our graduates are going to be doing, those that just graduated last month. Dan Frett is going to the University of South Carolina to work on a master's degree in business administration. Scott Strelo has been accepted to Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Charisse Alexander has been accepted into the University of Alabama Law School in Tuscaloosa. Stephen and Donna Phillips are going to the Presbyterian Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina, where he will be the organist and choir master, and his wife will be teaching music in an area school. Will Grant is going back to his hometown of Washington, D.C., to work in youth outreach in the Church of the Good Shepherd, which is now PCA. Beth Lambert is going to stay in Chattanooga. She's been a resident there, and she's going to help coordinate the Adopt a Block program, in which churches of different denominational and racial backgrounds are banding together to demonstrate the love of Christ in the inner city. Roxma Ebanks is going back to the Grand Cayman Islands, of which she is a native, and she's going to be teaching fourth grade there. She has a 5-year contract. John Pamel of Virginia Beach is going to be attending Covenant Theological Seminary. I could give you lots more. These are people we trust who have been well prepared and whose further training or work is going to make an impact for good in the life of our nation and world. And finally, we're excited about that vision because Covenant College really is striving to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not ignored on our campus. Our campus, all who serve it, recognize his kingship over all of life and learning. It's an exciting place and it's got a tremendous potential. I commend it to you. I want to share next with you two matters of concern, two needs, one of which you can take back to your churches right now, and the second of which you can work on as the months and the years go by. Those of you who know Covenant College know that for several years we have been blessed with generous challenge grants. This year, a donor offered to the college a grant of $250,000, which we can claim on June 30, 2 weeks from today, I think. We can claim that grant if we meet a couple of conditions, and one of them should be of urgent concern to you. That condition is, churches this year must have contributed the same amount as the grant itself, $250,000. Now, it's not a matching grant. It's not a grant which gives us $1 for every dollar that comes in. It's an all-or-nothing grant. We get it or we miss it. And if we miss it, we miss our whole budget by a mile. Where do we stand? As of today, we still need $77,000 more from churches. I would prefer not to bring all of that to your attention, but I've got an obligation to do that. And I hope you will share with me in the coming weeks our concern for that. We'd be deeply grateful for your prayer. And we'd be very appreciative of any offering or the gift of any individual that could be sent through your church. If each church in the larger denomination would make a special gift at this time of $120,000, we'd have it. Now, you've heard all sorts of things about if we would all give this and if we would all give that, and I know that it isn't that easy, but if you'd each give in each of your churches $120 per church, we'd have the remaining amount of money that we need. I do commend it to you. Secondly, we often hear from your own young people and their parents concerns about the cost at a Christian college. We're doing something about that, and we invite your attention and your help. When you pastors and clerks of session return home, you're going to find in your mail a letter and a sheet like this, which announces a new program entitled Covenant College Church Grants. You can find it even today up at our booth. It tells you that in 1983, special grant money will be available to all the students in your churches if you have been supporting the college as a church in 1982 at specified levels. For example, if your church would give the equivalent of $10 per member per year in 1982, we would give a grant to any student coming in from your church of $500. If your church gave the equivalent of $30 or more per member during 1982, we'd give a grant to any young person in your church of $1,500 annually. We want to help you. We want to help these young people come in. In order to do it, we need your help. A word in closing. Centuries ago, a man who shared our faith, Martin Luther, said, "Where the Holy Scripture is not the rule, There, I advise no one to send his children to be educated. We want to be that kind of college that is governed by the Word of God, that is founded upon it, that looks at all of life and learning in its light,